Are you one of those people that blanks out when people start talking Web3, NFTs, cryptocurrency, decentralization, venture capital, wearable technology? I could go on and on. If you're one of those folks that blanks out, this episode is just for you. Welcome to my Tech Talk, where I'm breaking down techie terms so that we can get to wealth. Welcome to Wearable Takeover, a podcast variety show highlighting disruptive technology for everyday use and the innovative people who develop, invest in, and support it. I'm Lakeisha Greenway, your host, and I thank you for joining me on this episode of Wearable Takeover, where we break down techie time. All right, people, let's get into it. The reason I am starting here is because your future depends on it. If I don't talk about this to you, who will? And you might know that maybe 50% or more of our listeners are those that fall within an underrepresented category when it comes to tech. What does that mean? Basically, people that have had to fight for equal pay, people that have had to fight for voting rights, people that don't get invited to the table or are expected to be thankful for scraps. Yes. I'm talking about Black, brown people, women, but then I'm also referring to those that may have different abilities than most of us, okay? So I'm talking about all those particular groups. In particular, I am a Black woman leading a global movement to develop and promote wearable technology. And so many people try to put me into a little box and say, oh, she only does Black tech. Nah, that's not it. I am a Black woman who is making sure that underrepresented talent has a seat at the table so that they can contribute to the evolution and innovation of technology, which impacts our daily lives. There's a big difference there. Now, anyway, getting back to the definitions, why does all this matter? Well, basically, when we look at data within 10 to 20 years, the overall wealth of the Black family is expected to be zero. Zero, people. So that's why it's important I break down these techie terms, because yes, we are in the midst of one of the greatest transfers of wealth in history. So why don't you hang with me for a little bit during this first episode? You can always go back to it, slow it down, write down some terms, or even email us. And I'll make sure that our show notes highlight our email address, which is listen@wearabletakeoverpodcast.com. If you have any questions, I can't guarantee that we'll respond to you, but we will receive it and make sure we incorporate those things into our show notes for the future. Okay. So are you ready? Let's go. All right. So we're going to be breaking down some techie terms. And again, I mentioned underrepresented. And when we look at that historically, again, we're talking about more so than anything, or when you hear like companies talk about it, they are referring to Black and brown people and women, okay? Because again, these are the folks that still don't get what they deserve. And let me just give you an example of that. In 2021, there were about 2% of the total venture capital funding went to women, and about 1.2% of that went to Black founders. Out of all the funding, so out of 100%, you're getting 2% or less, these particular groups, of venture capital funding. All right. So that's interesting. When we're talking about the greater transfer of wealth, how come these groups, and especially when you talk about the census and looking at the demographics, especially here in the United States, and I know we have listeners from all around the world. Thank you so much for tuning in, but this is going to help you. Why is it that these groups that are going to make up the majority of the population still not getting, or if they are getting anything, less than 2%, 2% or less of funding for these new innovations for their ideas? Do we not realize that innovation has been driven by many Black and brown people all these years? Okay. I mean, if you want me to take you back to rock and roll, if you want me to take you back to jazz, If you want me to take you back to hip hop, which still is reigning in so many different ways, if you want to take it back to even some of the things that we use on a daily basis, such as the traffic light for women, okay, sanitary napkins, talking about that, ironing boards. I mean, there are so many and even the peanut. Come on, people. Things that have been done with the peanut. So that innovation was driven by underrepresented talent. And so that's why it's important that we pay attention to this. Now I'm going to get into some additional techie terms that you can expect to hear on my podcast in the future. All right. So let's start with IoT. IoT stands for the Internet of Things. And basically, this describes physical objects that have sensors that can process software or other technologies and exchange data over the internet. Okay. So physical objects that have sensors that can produce data based off of software that's in it and transmit that over the internet. So I want you to think about that. What do you have that is a physical object that transmits data over the internet? Well, if you are a healthcare patient that sees your doctor, and perhaps you might see them virtually. And let's say you have a heart monitor. That's an example of how you have access to a physical object that has a sensor that can transmit data over the internet. Actually, that particular term or that particular picture I just described, something my father goes through. And he has what is called a wearable tech product in the form of his heart monitor. Okay. So when we're thinking about pacemakers, defibrillators, we're thinking about patients that are involved with dialysis, diabetes, and you see like people with patches, there's menopause, and even if you have on rings and even watches and things like that. Those are examples of products that are in a category of IoT, which happen to be ding, 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 my favorite category, wearable technology, all right? So let me get to what is actually wearable technology and how does that differ? Well, if you're wondering, what is wearable technology? I'm so glad you asked, okay? So wearable technology is expanding. It is ever evolving. And that's what I love about this category, because in many cases, people think, oh, wearable technology is like your watch or your band, or only is limited to earbuds and things like this, right? And these have a branded name, but I'm not going to say, you know what it is. But anyway, wearable technology is far beyond that, because there are even some of your skincare companies that you can buy from the big box stores that have some things that you can place on your skin if you're going to the beach and you want to monitor your sun exposure. Okay, that's an example of wearable technology. There have been cases of people planting chips into their skin so that they can unlock their homes during the pandemic, and as they're developing more capability for smart homes. You'll see things like that. Tattoos that are on your skin is an example of wearable technology when they utilize some coating or various wires. There's a number of different things that can be done with that. Fashion, we've seen that with the Levi's jacket that if you are a bike rider, you can actually connect your bike to your jacket, as you're riding your bike, your jacket, it has fabric that is so awesome. It's called the jacquard, and we'll go over that in another episode all by itself because it's so fascinating. And so basically, your jacket helps to connect to your watch, and it gives you bio data that is available as you are riding your bike and going to and fro, et cetera. And plus, you can even manage your music from your clothing. So isn't that awesome? So there's so many different things that can be done there. But I don't want to limit it to that, to things that we can just see in the physical. It's also in the virtual realm. So virtual reality really started to boom during the pandemic. And I can recall at the beginning of the pandemic, being on many calls, especially on Clubhouse, talking to many innovators and organizations that were saying, how can we get VR to a place where we can really scale it and optimize it? If you've ever gone to the Van Gogh immersive show that's traveling the country, they utilize VR at the end of that show. VR is also used in gaming, right? And so in the gaming systems, and especially if you have students or, you know, kids that are into Roblox, what you'll find is that they can create clothing for their particular characters in the game. Guess what? That's wearable technology. So I love this category. So I'm sharing all those examples because it is ever evolving, and I'm going to provide many opportunities, especially one in July 22, where all of you can come to an event called a hackathon, and where you can learn more about the various categories and some of the needs of companies and industries, and then develop solutions for them. So let me get to this definition of hackathon, and then we'll get to some of those other things, right? So a hackathon, many of you might be saying, I'm not into tech. Coach Al, I am just here to learn about these definitions so I know what the youth are saying to me. So, okay, I want to be cool. Well, I'm going to let you know, have you ever had an idea and you're like, man, I wish I could create this product, and then like you just never knew how to go about it, or perhaps you didn't know how to find a developer, a manufacturer, or an engineer? The good thing is that you can come to what is called a hackathon. And ours is going to be virtual, but there are some hackathons that are in person. And you can collaborate with people in a local setting across the country or even around the world. And ours is going to be around the world. And hackathons typically take place within a 72-hour period. It's like a sprint-like activity where you are dedicated for all those hours with some time for sleeping, where you come up with a prototype. And so you do not have to necessarily be techie to participate. There are some groups of folks that are developers. You do have some folks that know how to code. You do have some folks that are creatives and people that just have regular ideas, and those that may be problem solvers that come all together. And so you are able to come to this event where you may not know anyone. So that's a good thing. You can come all by yourself and you can be formed with the team and look at problem statements or opportunities to develop an idea and then come up with a prototype. So our hackathon, which is going to take place this July, is going to be in a virtual setting. It's going to be open for some of our youth as well as our adults. And we have experienced folks that are in wearables and those that are novices. And so you'll be able to come and share your ideas. And as far as your prototype, it's going to be something that you ideate together, you present it on PowerPoint or in some other way, and you pitch it. You pitch it, and that means that you have a certain time to communicate what your proposed solution is to the problem that encompasses wearable technology. You're going to talk about who it serves, how much it's going to take the cost, how much it's going to come, how much it's going to take to bring it to market, and then say, hey, do you want to invest or do you want to work with me to make it happen? And that's typically what happens. So I'm so excited about that. Okay. So anyway, that is what a hackathon is. And typically at a hackathon, you're going to find an audience of investors. And so some of these investors might be VCs, which I'm going to break down, venture capital, or angel investors. Let me break this down. Venture capitalist or venture capital is basically a large sum of money that is set aside for businesses that have shown they have tremendous traction and can be long-term, high-growth potential companies, okay? So if you know someone that has an idea and they're just starting, typically, they are not going to go to a VC, okay? So VC is later. It's not the beginning. The beginning typically is with your family and friends, and what we know for underrepresented founders is that we're looking at the overall wealth being almost zero in 10 to 20 years. We know that our resources can run kind of short in the friends and family, right? So this is where angel investors come in. Now, angel investors is that next group that you go to. Let's say you have an idea and went through friends and family trying to get some coin, or maybe you were trying to get out there and get some grants. An angel investor could be a person or an institution that has high net worth, and they provide some financial backing, okay? So this isn't like you know, back in the day, if you would watch some movies and there was always that hustler that would be there to provide that loan whenever you were really down and out, but there were always consequences when you got that loan, right? It's not as gory as that, but that's kind of like what an angel is, right? Except they're nice, hopefully. And so in certain cases, there are some angels that say, hey, I don't need anything back, right? But then there are some angels that say, yes, I want a percentage. Let's put a contract in place as to what it is I can expect to receive. So this is important because in those early stages where it's hard to get off the ground, where you're going to need some support, where the early stages are really difficult, that's where the angel investor comes in, okay? So again, you do not go from zero to VC. No, 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 honey. You go from zero to yourself because you should be investing in yourself. Then you go to family and friends. Then you go to angel investing in VC. So I hope that helps. All right. So are you ready for the next thing? Yes. All right. So since we're talking about money, honey, let's talk about cryptocurrency. Now, I mentioned that we are in the midst of one of the greatest transfers of wealth in history, and cryptocurrency in part was driving that. So, you heard of Bitcoin? Have you heard of Ethereum? Litecoin? And all those other coins, even backed by Elon Musk, you know, is in the news, all that stuff. Well, anyway, this cryptocurrency is digital. It's a virtual currency that you can get online. And basically, you can open what is called a wallet. And in a wallet is where you will buy and store your cryptocurrency. Now, one of the things that a lot of people were apprehensive about early on, including one of my favorite people in the world, and this is the only time I disagreed with him, Warren Buffett, was the fact of decentralization. What does that mean? Basically, people, especially for my folks that are underrepresented, what does this mean? This means that you don't have to go through all those barriers like you would with a traditional financing source in order to get qualified, to get a loan, et cetera, et cetera. All right. So you can just purchase your coin. And the good thing is when you first start, you might be saying, oh, I see that this particular coin may be at 40,000, 30,000 or whatever. There's no way I can afford that. You do not have to pay that in order to gain a piece of it. You can buy a percentage of it. So let's say you're starting out and you only got $25 a week that you could put towards a cryptocurrency. You can buy $25 worth of crypto, keep it in your wallet, and keep buying and keep buying and keep buying until it's almost out, right? So then you might want to look at Ethereum and some other things. Or you could just buy different coins in your portfolio. So there is no limit, so to speak, as to how much that you can buy or how you can get started. It's beautiful. And then in certain wallets, you can even gain interest on your money or give your own self a loan. Hello. So founders, make sure you're paying attention to me and everyday people as well. And if you want to know how to get into crypto or how to get a wallet, or even if you would like some additional training on that, make sure you check the show notes. I have some links there to help you. I love it. I love it. And of course, I get a referral fee. Okay. So you can too. So there's different ways that you can get paid off of these different things. All right. So that is cryptocurrency. So cryptocurrency is backed by what we call blockchain. And so blockchain is a system which records transactions made in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency and is maintained in a peer-to-peer network. So what does that mean? Basically, when people are talking about mining, they are talking about how they can track what is going on with this particular currency. With blockchain, basically, it creates records of transactions. Data also can help with the value. You can where you still get the connection. It's basically the ledger, if you will, the showcase, but in that ledger, which is the box, which has the message. This is how it's created. Imagine. Have blockchain NFT, you can get some that's why we limit, because you get corn or bread, I'm rich in certain things. So that is what and again, I'll be stressed so that we use throughout some reason or why. Remember, going to be held in Web3. So, you're talking about why we have people from family or people from Web3 is that it allows you to make your own in the midst of all of that. Yes. Doing some different incorporating that number of instances as well. But overall, opportunity is here. Hopefully, allow opportunity to understand the way some of my thoughts. I'm originally from all around the world. So I have spent some name drop folks later to worldtechpodcast.com. If you go to verbaltech.org, probably around the time founders that have been public to the world. So if you're doing something, you definitely want to see a place to bring the back and manage so you have to demonstrate. You guys could do that. I'm sure that this is a lot of that support will go to the whole test, which I'm the founder of. This podcast is going to be a language. And learn from you and get it sort of pouring up or if you sell any product. Okay, that's what we're doing here. I really do